the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel thinks it's a fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller's out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. As always, all of our guests tonight will appear in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Again, we talked about it earlier in the week, the passing of Ralph Mahalik Sr., who has started this dealership 50-plus years ago. So some heavy hearts, but still a lot of great energy as always up here at the Superstore. Again, another business success story in this area. And again, Drive Time and everybody involved with this show saddened, of course, earlier in the week to learn the passing of Ralph Mahalik Sr. So he's part of Drive Time and part of this show, no question about that. Well, last night, how about this? The Cavaliers, it was a game for a while, but how about Golden State? They scored the last 11 points of the game, an 11-0 run. They lead the series 3-0. And I got thinking about this a little bit because Matt Melzack's going to come up and join us from Fifth Third Field at around 5:30 tonight to give us a little preview. James McCann, by the way, last night 4-for-4 for the Mud Hens. We'll talk about that and some other topics when we get a hold of Matt Melzack at 5:20 tonight. But I got thinking about this Golden State run. How about this? They've won 15 straight, including the regular season. They've won 30 of their last 31. And I guess this is why I've always been a little bit partial to hockey come playoff time. Now, this has really got out of whack with dominating teams in the National Basketball Association. But LeBron basically started this trend himself when he went to Miami with the best players all teaming up together to beat up on the rest of the league. So, really, he's kind of a victim here of his own device as Kevin Durant and the rest of these folks join Golden State. Again, unbeaten in the playoffs, and by the way, that 15 straight wins is the longest in the playoffs of any team in the history of North American professional sports. That's how dominating it's been. Wasn't dominating last night, but again, Golden State wins it 118-113. They lead it 3-0. Game 4 Friday at the Q. In Cleveland, downtown Cleveland. We had a great show yesterday with two live reports out of Cleveland. We'll probably do something similar tomorrow as well. But after the game, it was LeBron James speaking to the media, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, obviously, it's physically and emotionally draining. And I give everything to the game and want to put myself and my teammates in a position to be successful. But I lay it all on the floor. I did that tonight. Gave everything that I had, both mentally and physically. And at times throughout the game, I was tired. And you know, I don't contribute us losing this game because we got tired. Of course, we thought we was going to win. We had an opportunity. Did we come in the game believing we was going to win? For sure. We were playing good basketball. You know, we had some really good looks. Can't go back and think of right now exactly all the possessions that we had in the fourth quarter, but we had some good looks. Personally, I got to go home, start my treatment right now, get my mind focused, get my body focused, and get my body ready for game 4 and take it one possession at a time.
Well, no question. LeBron's been great. Kyrie's been great. They had almost 80 points between them, but not enough to take on Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and the rest of Golden State. Speaking of Durant, I just talked about the era of the super teams, where superstars go to the teams that have money and also have a lineup that's already established with numerous superstars. And again, it was Durant last night right here, putting the nail into the heart of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Can't get it to fall. Rebound Durant.
Incredible opportunity.
Durant for three. It's good. Kevin Durant from downtown. And Golden State takes the lead.
And they should get a 2-for-1 here.
Well, there you go. Durant with that big shot off the deep right wing. Nothing but net. And, again, everybody knows the story. Now, Golden State leads it 3 games to none. Cleveland's coach after the game reflected on, well, his team, Golden State, and being down 3 games to none.
I knew it was going to be a tough game for us, and, you know, for us to win, I knew I had to get LeBron at least a, you know, 2-minute blow in that first quarter, because in the second half, he might not get a blow. The game was on the line, so I decided to stick with those guys, being a home down 0-2. I mean, great players, they always dig deep, have their will to win. They gave us everything they had. You know, I thought our team scrapped and competed. You know, I can't be disappointed with the effort and how we played. You know, they made the plays down the stretch that we didn't execute defensively or offensively, and they took advantage of it.
Well, that was Coach Lou of the Cleveland Cavaliers reflecting on that game last night. And again, the era of the super team in the NBA, we talked about it all the way back in January. Hey, foregone conclusion, Cleveland and Golden State in the finals, and that's where the National Basketball Association is now, like it or not like it. Again, partial to hockey. I understand I received my paycheck for almost 40 years in hockey-related projects. But the Nashvilles of the world that weren't the best team during the regular season. Pittsburgh won it last year, but to me this is what makes hockey so great. Prime example, the Walleye, best team during the regular season in the ECHL. Lo and behold, the Colorado Eagles are the Kelly Cup champions. More of that in hockey, and I think it just adds to more drama, no doubt about that. Speaking of drama, Tigers had won 5 out of 6 going into this afternoon's game against the Los Angeles Angels. All Angels today, by the way, they win it by a score of 11-4. I guess the real note here, Michael Fulmer, who always seems to get to the seventh inning, he gave up 4 runs in the fifth inning today. Angels get 6 in the seventh. They win it 11-4. The Tigers got back to 500. The Tigers with a win here this afternoon basically could have pulled to within 1 game of the Central Division lead. They got that close, and they drop them again the afternoon game to the Angels today, the rubber match of that series. It's off to Boston now for the Detroit Tigers. 3 hits for Kinsler today, 3 hits for Castellanos, and a ton of hits for the Angels. Detroit had 15 hits in the game. The Angels had 15 hits. Angels pitching much, much, much better in front of 35,000 on a beautiful day, of course, up at Comerica Park. That's the Reed Funeral Home Detroit Tiger Report. Game 5 tonight, Nashville, Pittsburgh. That series is tied 2 games each. Should be a dandy tonight in Pittsburgh. It's been all home ice in that series. Nashville winning twice in Nashville in that great atmosphere. Pittsburgh, they'll be rocking tonight in Pittsburgh. 2 games each, game 5 tonight. We will have that here in one of the Cumulus Cluster stations. Good work by Jim Cushlin. Dean of Sportscasters, Toledo. Hall of Famer Dan Cummins right around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the low-painted King Ralph Mahalik, where the Carfax Fox used car sale event continues. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com for all the deals. Leave your checkbook at home. We get a lot of great deals. Back with more after this. This is Drive Time and ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Superstore. Glad to have you on board. As always, this show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Coming up 5:30 tonight, we're going to get a live report from Fifth Third Field, downtown Toledo. Matt Melzack will join us there. Of course, a little preview on the Indianapolis-Toledo Mud End game. Then, like we do on Thursdays, a little motorsports. The guys of ARCA over in Pocono. Of course, everybody will be up at MIS next weekend. So a little motorsports coming up around 5:40 tonight, coming to you from the showroom right here at the Monroe Dodge Superstore, where the Carfax Fox used car sales event continues. The Dean joins us now, the Dean of Sportscasters in Toledo, Mr. Dan Cummins here in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you?
Good. I was going down my menu today to figure out what we were going to talk about. And, of course, a lot of activity in the quote-unquote major sports. Game 5 tonight, Nashville and Pittsburgh over in Pittsburgh, where the home teams have dominated. Tigers got crushed today, 11-4. Cavs and Golden State, they've already played three games. What's on your menu tonight? What will the viewers in Northwest Ohio be seeing?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to talk about sports. I was went with Honor Flight to D.C. yesterday. I spent the day with veterans of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Long day, loved it. I got back, and I put together my first story. It's going to run at 5:45 here shortly. I've been working on that all day. Sports, you know, just kind of just it's a recap of the NBA Finals and a little video from D.C. also in the 6 o'clock that I my experiences with the veterans and some stuff like that. But my whole life in the last 24 hours was consumed by the trip to D.C. We were at the airport at 5 in the morning doing live shots, and then we left at 8 o'clock, flew to D.C. or to Baltimore, bus to D.C., spent the day at the memorials, Arlington Cemetery, the Air Force Memorial, the Iwo Jima Memorial, and then we got back at about 10 o'clock last night, and they had a wonderful reception for the 78 veterans who returned home. It was really, really cool. I got to tell you, I've done a lot of neat things, national championship games, the World Series, and that tops my list, Mike. It's, it makes the hair on your back move. It was so cool. These guys, I talked to a guy from Northwest Ohio who was a World War II veteran who was weeping at the wall of stars that signify all of the 405,000 Americans who died in World War II. After all these years, it still touches him, the waste of human life of the guys that he lost that he was with in the airborne. And guys at the Vietnam Wall, a guy from Toledo I was talking to had in his hand a note card of like 7-8 names of guys that were killed on a particular day when he was there and he got shot. And, you know, it's just the emotion, the energy of these guys who were like some of them in their 90s. They went from 5 a.m. to 11 o'clock and beyond and were still fired up, and they were like 20-year-old kids again, just in what a wonderful bonding experience that they had with each other.
Dan, I apologize. And again, I've been running around crazy the last couple of days and some other things. I did not know about your trip, and I am so happy that you brought it up. I know Jim Tichy a couple of years back basically he and I had talked about it. So thank you for bringing that up. You put a lump in my throat as well. I got to tell you. The older you get, the more appreciative you get of that generation, all the generations.
Isn't that the truth?
All the folks that you serve. I got to tell you, I saw a TV commercial about a week ago, and talk about getting choked up, and it was about a movie, Dunkirk. Now, I don't know anything about the movie, but I wanted to learn more about it, so I Googled it, read about it, looked at the map there in the coast and the English Channel. But it got me thinking about my dad as well, who served in World War II, and something about that generation, I will tell you. He was on the USS West Virginia Pearl Harbor after they reconstructed it, and he went in the Pacific Theater. And, you know, you start reading about the things, and I just sit there. My dad's been gone since 1974, and I start shaking my head about this whole generation. That they don't even mention these things in their day-to-day lives. They came back. They started families. They went to work. My parents got in the tavern business here in Toledo. So I'm glad you brought that up. And I have to tell you, I'm absolutely believe you 150% of all the things that you have covered, that I understand why that would be at the top of the list.
Mike, they Toledo Honor Flight is no more. They just kind of, I don't know, with volunteer base and maybe the funding dried up, I don't know. But Glass City Honor Flight, based out of Findlay, they have taken over all of Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan. They'll take people from anywhere that want to go. You just have to go to flagcityhonorflight.com, find their website, and you can apply. You know, they don't magically know every veteran in the area wants to go, that deserves to go. They're now taking Vietnam vets, and it's a matter of going to the website, looking up and applying, putting your name in there, Their next trip is in September. I don't know if they have a complete list yet. They're still looking for people. We had 78 vets. 15, I said, were from World War II. The rest were Korea and Vietnam. And there are a lot of Korean veterans still out there, a lot of Vietnam veterans. And, of course, in time we'll have Gulf War veterans that, deserve to go. You know, you talk about the World War II guys. You know, look, I spent the day yesterday with 78 heroes. And, of course, they'll tell you the heroes are the ones that don't come back. But in being able to talk to these guys, it's one thing to, talk to them, but to talk to them at the memorial is just emotional. I couldn't get the answer out of one of them. How do you, back in 1941, how did you, your generation, accept the fact that, like, we are all going off to war? Every able-bodied guy from 17 to 45, we are all enlisting. We are going away from our families. We don't know when we're coming back, if we're coming back. How do you put your entire life on hold for 2, 3, 4 years knowing that's going on? I mean, even now, it's a volunteer army. If you go in, you're going in. Maybe your tour is 6 months, a year, or whatever. And I don't want to take away from these guys because their sacrifice is incredible, too. But that generation, they're in the military for whatever it takes. If you've seen the movie Band of Brothers, these guys were there. They invaded Normandy. They were there throughout the entire war till the end of it, and they were threatened with going to fight in Japan as well until the atomic bomb stopped the war. But these people, their sacrifice is mind-boggling.
No, it is. You couldn't have said it any better, Dan Cummins. And the Low Payment King, right here in his office not far from me, has told me about his trips to Normandy and how emotional that is. I spent a day when I was with the Devils, we were playing the Capitals, and for some reason, Dan, and it was January, and it was bitter cold. We stayed there in Pentagon City, the team, and I had a couple of days, and I went through Arlington, and it was an experience that, again, I'll never forget. It opens your eyes, and it makes you thankful that we had not just the World War II generations, but everybody that's ever served. And, you know, they might have not got off the coast of California, but you're still have put your life on hold at times. You're still homesick. Believe me, congratulations to you, and thank you very much for bringing that up. And, listen, if you can, I want you to get a hold of me, and if the Flag City chapter needs any help, and I'll continue to maybe give out their coordinates and their information on a fundraising type thing. So, no question. I'm glad you went, and I'm glad you shared it with me as well. Are you going to be down to the ballpark tonight, or are you going to send somebody down, Hens home against Indianapolis?
We take it off television. I won't be going to the game, no. I've got projects here I'm working on. I've got another part of my honor flight series to do. So I've got some work in house. Part one is done. That airs at 5:45 on WTOL.
Very, very good. Anything? When's part two air? Do you know?
Look at it next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, probably at 5 o'clock. It is going to deal with Vietnam veterans, two guys from Toledo who were at the wall, and they were very honest and open about their experiences, and both in Vietnam and also at the wall yesterday. So I just want to plug again Flag City Honor Flight. They offered, I think every time they go, they offer at least once a year a spot to someone from the media to get the visibility. Someone went from another station last time, 11 got the opportunity this time, and my news director, knowing my passion for war history and the military and my love for it, asked me if I would like to go, and I went by myself. I shot everything, and yeah, it was the thrill of a lifetime, that's for sure.
Well, they sent the right guy, Dan. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again, and I will be watching tonight. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Take care, Mike. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dan Cummins. Boy, I got to tell you, it's funny how that works out, is that, you know, I'm thinking things have slowed down on the national front in sports, and congratulations to Dan Cummins and Honor Flight. Jim Tischy, another sports guy in our market for years, very active in the Toledo chapter. Now, of course, the Flag City chapter based out of Findlay. Talk a little Mud Hens, a little Walleye, a little sports right around the corner. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Melzack for the ballpark after this.
Host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
I'm going to tell you right now, Frank Gargano is the number one ranked producer and engineer in the radio business in the history of Northwest Ohio. He's pumping me with Seeger. He's pumping me with Zeppelin. He's keeping me going. Great job back there, Frank. Good stuff. Dan Cummins, the Dean of Sportscasters at Northwest Ohio, joined us at 5:15 tonight. Talked Honor Flight, not a lot of sports, as Dan recalling his experience yesterday with the veterans going to Washington, D.C. Got a little choked up when you start thinking about that crew and that generation, the World War II guys, in fact, the Vietnam era guys as well in Korea. So good job, Dan Cummins, for sharing that story with us. A guy that will be telling the story tonight from Fifth Third Field in downtown Toledo. And I don't know if you need a better night for baseball than what they're going to get down there tonight. But the voice of the Mud Hens, the voice of the Walleye, Matt Melzack, joins us. Haven't talked to Matt in a while. How are you, Matt?
I am doing well, Mike. Great to hear your voice again, as always.
Hey, did you take any time off between hockey and baseball?
I took a little bit last week. Had a little bit of a nice break and, caught up on the yard a little bit at home. That grizzly field that it was becoming there with all of the travel for hockey and doing baseball games when we weren't playing hockey games. So, yeah, it needed quite some attention, that's for sure.
Well, all you had to do was dial me up. I would have came right over. I would have cranked up my John Deere. We would have taken care of that. I would have put some fertilizer down, maybe some rye seed. Listen, when you're off and away, please pick up the phone. I'll take care of you. You know that. Hey,
all right.
Here's the pressing question. I see James McCann was 4-for-4 last night for the Mud Hens, and good for him. But I always like reading John Wagner's story, and I don't know if he put it in there last night. The most pressing issue for me is I like finding out when the major league guys come down where they ordered the food from in Toledo to buy for their teammates at the AAA level. Did you hear anything about that yet?
I did not hear anything on that one. As a matter of fact, I was down there, and it was on my brain today to ask, and I completely forgot. So many apologies on that, Mike. I got doing some other things tonight, and kind of slipped my mind there. But I was thinking that. I was wondering what the meal was going to be that James McCann supplied. But we'll find out at some point.
Well, I'll guarantee you it wasn't pizza and soft drinks. I'm guaranteeing it was something good for the boys.
And in talking with James McCann, I'm sure it was very good. He's a wonderful person. He's one of those guys, Mike, that you just root for to do very well and to have an extremely long major league career.
And I think he will. I guess which leads to the next question, Matt Melzack. How about John Hicks up with the Tigers as well? You know, I guess it's kind of a bizarre scenario here because I guess it was almost, a given fact that probably after this year and Alex Avila on a one-year deal that, they'll bring him in, of course, to work another year with McCann. Then eventually it's going to be McCann and Hicks. But the way Alex Avila has played this year has been absolutely unbelievable. You even hate to see a guy like John Hicks, and I'm going to guess he's the guy coming back to Toledo when McCann gets healthy, who seems like he's healthy already with that 4-for-4 night. But you know what? It's nice to have a little depth, and it's nice to have a bit of a logjam.
Yeah, it really is, Mike. And as we saw today in the Tigers game, Hicks went in and was playing a little bit of first base there. When he's been down here, he's actually played in the outfield some, played a little bit of first base, catching as well, just to, improving where he can kind of play just in case he's needed. And, he was great when he was down here a couple of weeks back as well, Mike, after a good stint up with Detroit. And he knows if there's anything, any injury or any of that nature, he's going to get the call right away to be back up. So he just continues to work hard, and a great find by Al Avila and his staff to find him last year. Remember, he was with the Seattle organization beginning of the year, was let go by them, picked up actually Minnesota's organization for a bit, and then ended up with Detroit. So that's where your scouting department works out well to find a guy like John Hicks, who's had a great year.
No question about it. Hens going to tonight's game against Indianapolis at 25-31. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen through the 50-plus games, 56 to be exact. And, this team was built, a more veteran-laden team that, the offseason, a lot of the talk, Matt Melzack, we got to get more competitive in Toledo. I understand there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of ups and downs. Any observations of where they're at and where they're going?
Well, I think you look at it right now as Detroit gets healthy, and that's been the big key. You think about the month of May where there was a lot of injuries with the Tigers. So, yes, you did lose a guy like Jim Adusi, who is hitting very well here in Toledo. John Hicks, we just talked about, but up in the big leagues. Now you start looking around and you start looking at this lineup. You got Tyler Collins leading off tonight, Jacoby Jones hitting second. Michael Almanzar is healthy after really struggling with his injuries in the month of May. Omar Infante is hitting near 280, Mike, is sitting in the sixth spot tonight. That tells you how much more depth there is in the lineup for Toledo. And that was probably the bigger part of the problem of why this team went 10-19 in the month of May. They just really struggled to put together a lot of consistent scoring. And it's been certainly better in this series. It's part of the reason why they've taken two of the first three against Indianapolis and a chance to win this four-game set against the Indians here tonight. If they take the tonight's game, they'll be within 4.5 of the first-place Indians. So I think it's a big reason why they're hitting the baseball a lot better right now, and it has a lot to do with the fact that the whole organization is getting more healthy.
And you know what? The bats seem to come out to when the weather's a little bit better, and that's certainly the case right now. Hey, listen, before I let you go, I didn't see this coming, and I don't think many people did see this coming, but wow, Buck Farmer, two very impressive starts, of course, with the Detroit Tigers. Justin Verlander still battling that groin situation, and nobody's sure how long he is going to be out, but I'll tell you one thing, nobody's going to take any chances there with the JV. Tigers, by the way, had a chance to get back to within one game of the Central Division lead today, but got blown out 11-4. Buck Farmer, geez, he keeps this up. You might not see him back at the AAA level.
Well, there's always some things that you can kind of look at, Mike. And his ERA was, not the best when it was here, but he had one thing that he was really doing very well, and that was he was finding the strike zone with a lot of consistency. He was throwing a ton of strikes, getting a lot of swings and misses. His walk-to-strikeout ratio, very good here in Toledo, and he's taken that right up to Detroit, and it's part of the reason why he's been successful in a couple of starts. Well, hope that he can maintain that, because the Tigers certainly could use it. Let's not forget, 2 years ago, Buck Farmer was one of their top prospects in the organization. He definitely still has a lot of pedigree to him and a lot of ability to become a major league starter, and sometimes it just takes longer for guys. We're getting so used to, Mike, where if you're not up and performing at the big league level by the time you're 23, 24, you're done as far as the prospect's concerned. Well, that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of guys that, especially pitchers, that take a little longer to develop. And Buck Farmer, we've seen it since day one. He's been all over the strike zone. He's pitched very well for Toledo. Certainly deserved that call-up. Another guy who's probably in that mix is Drew Verhagen, who is scheduled to start tonight. He will not, actually, for the Mud Hens. So, of course, they got to kind of keep an eye on that with the Verlander situation on whether he can go this weekend or not. But, I think you could really see it here with the Mud Hens for Buck Farmer and why he's been successful up there for Detroit.
Have a good call, Matt. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you taking the time, as always.
Always great to hear your voice, my friend, at any time.
That's Matt Melzack, voice of the Walleye, voice of the Mud Hen, appearing on the Vito's Pizza phone line, the 2016 Pizza Palooza Award winner. That's Vito's Pizza. Ingredients you can trust. Visit Vito's.com. TAS Electronics update. Right around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Right around the corner, Ty Majewski, ARCA driver, after these words.
Going traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. You heard Bob Seger bring us back into this segment. I don't think he would mind us saying that, but longtime Bob Seger keyboard player Craig Frost makes his home not too far from where we're broadcasting right now. That was Bob Seger. We heard some Seger tonight and some Zeppelin, by the way, back into the segments. We talked to Dan Cummins, the Dean of Toledo Sportscasters, at 5:15 here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Then we talked baseball from downtown Toledo, where the Mud Hens tonight taking on Indianapolis. And like we do on Thursday nights, no pun intended, we're going to switch gears here a little bit as Ty Majewski joins us. He'll be making his Super Speedway debut tomorrow at Pocono Raceway. Hello, Ty. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Very good. Thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it. Hey, tell us about that, going from, you know, half mile and short tracks into a super speedway and for your first race tomorrow. Tell me about adjustments that you've had to make, and tell us a little bit about the learning curve.
I think the biggest thing is just learning the aerodynamics and the airflow. You know, that can get you in trouble in a hurry on a big track like this. Obviously, on a half mile, we don't see those kinds of speeds, so we're not so worried about aerodynamics. And now with these ARCA cars and Camping World trucks and Xfinity cars and Cup cars, it's all about the aero and learning the air and being able to see the air, so to speak. So when you get up behind somebody, you don't have as much downforce on your front nose, and you get tight, and your car handles differently. So just knowing where to position your car to set up and pass people, I think, is the biggest difference for me.
Ty Majewski joins us again. He'll be at Pocono tomorrow. Then we'll see him. We're doing our show a week from tomorrow up at Michigan International Speedway. The ARCA Racing Series Corrigan Oil 200 will take place. We'll be up there doing our show like we do every year from MIS. Hey, you talk about some other guys that made their debut on the super tracks doing pretty well. The likes of Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson both broke in at Pocono. So you're in good company there, and then you're going to make that jump to the Xfinity Series in Iowa later in the summer. Tell me again, Ty, going from, say, listen, the ARCA series all the way up to the Xfinity series, what's the biggest thing there besides a difference in horsepower?
Well, the Xfinity cars actually have a lot less downforce and side force just because of all the rules that NASCAR enforces with skew and stuff like that. So the Xfinity cars will definitely be harder to drive than what an ARCA car would be. So I had the luxury of going out to Iowa and testing an Xfinity car out there last month, and that'll obviously be huge for me when I go back there here at the end of the month. So, but it also helps that I'm getting some seat time beforehand in the ARCA car at places like Pocono, Michigan. So like I was talking about before, I can get used to some of the aerodynamic stuff. So hopefully I can take what I learned at those two races and apply it for my Xfinity debut in Iowa.
Ty, did you run at Toledo?
No, I did not.
No, I'm just curious. I always like to get everybody's take on the half-mile track, not too far from here. Hey, everybody we've had on over the years, we talk motorsports here on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, by the way, coming to you from the showroom tonight. There seems to be, you know, not all the time, but a lot of the times, somebody that gets involved, somebody that drives as a professional like yourself, a family member, a dad, an uncle, somewhere down the road was involved as well. Has that been the case with you?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I've been racing, since 9 years old, it's always been a family thing for my family and I. They've been a big part of my racing career growing up. You know, my dad supported me, of course, racing go-karts. I mean, we spent countless hours in the shop years back working on go-karts and, you know, like I said, just spent a lot of hours at it. And you know, we always strive to put good equipment out on the racetrack and surround ourselves with good people. And I think that's a big reason why I've gotten to where I've gotten in my career today.
Hey, if you have success coming up tomorrow at Pocono up in the mountains there, I used to drive by that track quite a bit, commuting back and forth to the New York area. What a great setting, by the way. If you have success tomorrow, and we hope you do, and we appreciate you coming on the show, what do you think you would have done right?
You know, I think the biggest thing in the ARCA race is just track position. You know, it's an 80-lap race, so we're going to have to pit at least once for fuel. So it's just going to be track position. Like I was talking about before, your car handles so much differently, and you slow down in traffic. So if you can get out front, get that clean air, we should be okay come tomorrow.
Hey, good stuff. Thanks for coming on, Ty. We'll see you down the road, maybe over at Michigan International Speedway. Tell Mark Gundrum thanks for setting this up. We enjoyed talking to you, and best of luck tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's Ty Majewski. He'll be racing tomorrow at Pocono, part of that ARCA race, and, of course, ARCA, Xfinity, and, again, NASCAR up at Monster Energy NASCAR. We'll be up there next Friday at MIS. All right, everybody, back to close out the show. My name is Mike Miller, back with more. As always, our guests appear in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust. Visit Vito's.com. 2016 Pizza Palooza Award winner. Back after the...
It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Superstore. Again, come on up and see us. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. As always, this show presented by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, Carfax, Fox, used car sales event continues. Our guest again appeared to the Vito's Pizza phone line. Next Friday, we'll be up at MIS doing this show from 5 to 6, by the way. Again, glad to have you on board tonight. Dan Cummins tonight, and I got to tell you, I was just kind of, I don't want to say scrambling around, but I did get busy today, and you know, Tigers were on this afternoon, so, you know, the Detroit writers were busy, and always great to have Dan on. I did not know about his involvement yesterday going to Washington, D.C. with the Flag City Honor Flight Group. Good for Dan. Take a look at his special tonight on Channel 11. Last week I just was online reading about some of the battles in Normandy and what, listen, it's been dubbed the greatest generation. And for you millennials out there, I know this isn't the case of all of you young folks, but just imagine being 18, you know, 19, 20 years old and, you know, up the cliffs of Normandy and what a group of individuals we had. Not to say that the kids that are serving today and our young folks today are not a great group of people, but boy, in the 1940s with that World War II conflict underway, what a group of men and women we had representing us then. So Dan Cummins joined us at 5:15. Great they can go back to Washington, D.C. I'm sure very emotional for Dan Cummins. 5:30, Melzack joined us tonight from Fifth Third Field, downtown Toledo, Indianapolis, and the Mud Hens tonight. And then Ty Majeski joined us, ARCA driver. He'll be at Pocono this weekend. We'll do it tomorrow here from the Superstore. Frank Gargano, first-round draft choice. Went very, very, very high in the draft. Fourth overall nationally. Great with the music. Great with the guests. Great to work with. Good job, Frank. We'll be talking tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Drive Time here from the Superstore. Good night, everybody.